This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 38. And here Luke gives us the account of the visit of Jesus to the home of Martha. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she will help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." This story could be called the tale of two sisters. Sisters who were of contrasting personalities. They lived in the village of Bethany, we are told that by John. They had a brother, Lazarus. They were very close to Jesus. When Lazarus was sick, the message was, "Come, the one that thou lovest is sick." And we are told by John how Jesus loved Mary and Martha. So they were a family with whom Jesus had a very close bond, a loving relationship. And so we read here in Luke's gospel that a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. John tells us concerning Mary that Bethany was the town of Mary. And this gives you an insight into their contrasting personalities. Martha was a woman of the home. A homemaker. She was the kind that kept one of those modeled kind of houses. A great cook. A wonderful hostess. She could prepare a meal second to none. Mary, she was more the sort to be out visiting with people. Loved to socialize. Loved to talk. So it says that Bethany was the town of Mary. She sort of owned the town. Martha owned the house. And the house was the place of Martha's domain. The town was the place of Mary's domain as she just loved people. She was a very people person. Martha was more oriented towards things, whereas Mary was more oriented towards people. Now, that's not to speak disparagingly of either. It isn't putting Martha down or putting Mary down. It's just a recognition of their different and contrasting personalities. It's true of people today. There are many people today who spend their life with things. They are doers. They love to be doing things, always busy. And then there are other people who spend their life with people. They love to be around people. They love interaction with people. Both kinds are necessary. If we were all people, there'd be nothing done. And if we were all doers, there would be no socializing or no society. And so both are necessary. When Jesus came to the home of Martha, Martha was true to form. We read that she was cumbered with many things. That's the old King James version. Basically, she was just very busy preparing the meal and all for the Lord and his disciples. preparing those special foods and the other things that she felt were necessary to make the visit of Jesus in her home a very pleasant experience for Jesus. And there are many people who show their love for Jesus by doing things for him. They're always involved in some kind of service for their master. James tells us that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. James was a very practical sort, and he would have loved Martha. He would have pointed out Martha as the tremendous example. Look what she's doing for the Lord. James said, if you say you have faith and yet you have no works, then your faith is dead. He said, you show me your works and I'll show you your faith. So according to James, Martha had it. She would have been classified as a woman of great faith for the Lord and a great love of the Lord because she was showing that, and many people do, by their activities, by what they do for the Lord. They look at that as the opportunity of showing their love for him. But it should be noted that what we do for the Lord, and many times very much, we're involved in many activities, our doing for the Lord can never be a satisfactory substitution for our worship of the Lord. It would appear that Martha was so busy doing that she didn't take the time for just sitting and worshiping. You see, the house did not need to be spotless. Every little knick-knack didn't have to be in perfect position on the shelf. But Martha was that kind of a person, you know, where it had to be spotless. It had to look like a picture, everything. And thus, taking so much time with these things did not leave her adequate time for just sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, when Martha served the tray of snacks, the carrots were cut with little curlicues. The radishes were all folded out like a flower. And the tray looked like a picture. And that's lovely. That's just a lovely way to serve snacks. But it takes a lot of time to do things in such a special flair of artistic beauty. And that was the kind that Martha was. And so because she did give herself so much to the little details, she was missing out on one big thing that needed to be done. Mary, on the other hand, we are told that she also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I think that the word also is a key word there. I think that that word indicates that Mary did serve too. But also, beside her serving, she took time to just sit at the feet of Jesus, to commune with him, to talk with him, to just open her heart and spend that time of intimate fellowship with him as they shared together. Mary could let the little extra touches go in order that she might spend more time with the Lord. Mary was the one who just the week before Jesus was crucified, as he was sitting at a dinner, brought some very expensive perfume and poured it over his head. When Judas Iscariot saw that and realized what kind of perfume it was, he objected and he said, "Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold for several thousand dollars." and we could have given the money to the poor. John is careful to add that Judas said that not because he really was concerned with the poor, but he was the treasurer of the group and he had been thieving out of the funds. But Jesus answered, "The poor you have with you always." In fact, he rebuked Judas. He said, "Let her alone." Judas was getting on her case. It was probably to Mary. He said, "Why this waste? You know, we could have spent this." And getting on Mary's case, and Jesus rebuked him and said, "You let her alone. She's done a good thing. For she has anointed me for my burial." The poor you're going to have with you always. You won't always have me. And she's actually anointed me for my burial. It's interesting how that Jesus was always, it seems, defending Mary's devotion towards him. There were those who would rebuke her for her devotion. There were those that would hold her back and keep her from his feet. But Jesus was always standing up for her, saying, "No, she's done the right thing. She's doing the right thing." Now, Martha came to Jesus complaining. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Make her help me. Order her to help me, Lord." Now, serving the Lord is a very wonderful thing, and it is a necessary thing. However, we should never find ourselves complaining to Jesus about our service. Peter tells us that our service to the Lord should never be out of constraint. I should never feel pressure in my service to the Lord. I should never feel that, "Oh, I've got to do it," kind of an attitude. I should always serve him with great joy and just look at it as a delight and a privilege and a blessing without ever complaining about what I am doing or what I have done. Or even drawing attention to it. As Jesus said, you've done what you're supposed to do. Don't look for any special rewards. Paul, when he speaks about our giving to the Lord, said it should never be grudgingly. God loves, he said, a cheerful giver. It's tragic that many times people who are serving the Lord are often also complaining about all they have to do. And they are, there seems to be just this constant complaint of, "Oh, they've called me again and I've got to do it," you know. And it isn't a service from a heart of love and joy and just, "Oh, wonderful, I get another opportunity to show my love for the Lord and do this for him," and all as an exciting thing. But it's sort of a kind of a grudging way in which people serve, and sometimes complaining to the Lord. And that's where Martha made her mistake. Serving the Lord was wonderful, but complaining about it is something else again. And it sort of takes away from what I do for him when I find myself complaining about what I have done. Jesus defends Mary against the complaints. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're troubled and filled with care about many things." Yes, that's Martha. Many things. The repetition of her name, Martha, Martha, does show tenderness. It shows understanding. It shows intimacy. It's just, oh, Martha, Martha, kind of a, you know, intimate way. You're troubled about so many. You're so filled with care about these little things. The little things are appreciated. But with all of the little things that she was doing, she had robbed herself of the time of doing the big thing and the important thing. So busy doing things for Jesus, she had no time for Jesus. Now, you've got to be careful about that. We who are doers, and I really am a Martha type. I'm a doer. But I have to constantly be guarding against doing so much that I'm not taking time with him. Doing for Jesus instead of just spending time with Jesus in pure communion and fellowship. And Jesus said to her, one thing is needful. You've been filled with care about many things. You're troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's needful. All of these other things aren't needful. They're not necessary. It isn't necessary to have the top of the salad arranged like a Rembrandt painting. Every tomato in a beautiful order around it's beautiful. And I really admire when I go to, dinners. But yet the first time you put your spoon in the thing, you upset the whole picture, you know. And you think of all of the time that it takes to set them, you know, so carefully and orderly around. But it's still just a salad is a salad. You know, whether it's just all mixed together or whether or not it's set out in, with all the time in the perfect, beautiful order. Potatoes are potatoes. Mashed potatoes are mashed. You don't have to have all the swirls. I mean, they're still mashed potatoes. And yet... You know, it's a nice touch, it's beautiful, but you can get so involved in the little details that you don't take time for the most important thing, and that's just sitting at Jesus' feet. And so it's something to guard against, that being so busy for the Lord, I don't have time for the Lord. So busy doing that I don't have time just being with him and spending time with him. Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part and it shall not be taken from her. The good part was just that intimacy with Jesus as she sat at his feet, sharing, worshiping. When Jesus, after his baptism, had been in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, and Satan came to him and tempted him because he was hungry. And Satan said, why don't you use your supernatural powers and turn that stone into bread? Jesus responded, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, man does live by bread. And bread is necessary for the sustenance of life. And bread doesn't just automatically appear on the table. There is the growing of the wheat, the grinding of the wheat, and the mixing of the dough, and the baking of the bread and all. But there is the doing to bring the bread, but that isn't life. That isn't all of life. That's a necessary part of life. And doing is a necessary part of life. But it isn't everything. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Martha was busy providing the bread. And Mary was busy hearing the words from the mouth of God. The balance. And that's basically what it's all about. Life is always made up of balances. And we want to live a well-balanced life. And a well-balanced life is a life that is engaged in activities for the Lord, doing for Him, and manifesting our love in our deeds. But also fellowshipping with Him. Just spending time in pure worship, sitting at His feet to worship Him. And that is the more important of the two. For you see, as we sit at His feet, and as we learn of Him, as we hear His word, then we will find that He will guide us in our activities. In those moments of fellowship, in those moments where we just are there worshiping Him, He will show us the things that He wants done. And He will guide us in our activities. And I go from the feet of Jesus to serve, to carry out His will and His desires. Both things are important. Both things are necessary. But be careful that you don't get so involved in the things that you miss the one thing that is really needful, and that's just to sit at His feet and pour out your love. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for this opportunity of just sitting at Your feet today to study Your word. And Lord, as we are here to worship You, to spend this time with You, guide us, Lord. As we go out into this world, we pray that You will show us those things that You would have us to do in order that we might show You our love in obedience to Your commands. Lord, help us to be hearers of the word, but not hearers only. May we also be doers of the word. And thus, Lord, a well-balanced life that pleases You. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Shall we stand? May I suggest to you that this week you spend a lot of time in the most important thing, the good thing, just sitting at the feet of Jesus. You might even reevaluate a lot of things that you are doing to find out if you're really doing those for Him, if they become a duty, if they become sort of onerous. And you find yourself sort of unwilling. They call me up on Sunday afternoon to come over and pray. And this is Super Bowl today. Oh, can they do that to me, you know? And as you're driving over mumbling, don't expect the Lord to bless you. God loves a cheerful giver. And so may the Lord guide us. And may we just spend some time with Him. You'll find it's time well spent.